Welcome. I want to welcome everybody to the Senior Citizen Advisory Council Housing and Transportation Committee on September 14th at 9:30 a.m. If anybody would like a snack, please help yourself. I'll go over it more, but if anybody plans on doing any public comments, either for an agenda item or general public comments, please fill out the blue cards that are up there and put it in the speaker request basket. That's something that has to be done. So if you're planning on speaking, please do that. Okay, so I've called to order. Sandy, would you please give the inspiration? Okay. Anybody have an inspiration? Yeah. You know what? I found one earlier. I wonder if I can remember it. Jerry, you have one?
I don't have
one. Oh. Awesome. It was an athlete, and it was something to the effect of, it was a professional athlete, and it was something to the effect of, your goals can be to get all the medals and the achievements and the awards, and that's great, but it's your personal goals that make it successful, something to that. So I think it's like, let's not be distracted by all the shiny stuff on the outside. It's your character and your values, the personal goals that you want to attain that make you a better person, a better part of a community. That's what's important. How's that?
Wonderful.
Okay, so if you would all please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, if you can rise, please do so. Put your hand over your heart, ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Linda, can we roll call? Okay, would you please thank you?
Linda Barcelona. Elizabeth Dusick.
Here.
Jerry Chang.
Present.
Dean Hernandez.
Here.
Juno Tim. Beck Levin.
Here.
Crystal Miles.
Present.
Haley Nguyen.
She has an excused absence. She was by me yesterday.
Irene Rose?
Here.
Sandy Safe?
Here.
And Nathan Skill. We have quorum.
Thank you very much. Okay, really appreciate everybody coming. And we have public comment at this time. If there are any members of the public that wish to speak on items within the subject jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken on off agenda items unless authorized by law, please let us know. Are there any public comments?
No,
none. Perfect. Then let's move forward to our presentation. And today we have our Senior Transportation Program for the Orange County Transportation Committee. So welcome. If you would come step up, introduce yourself, and we are all ears. Thank you so much for being here. I know there were some scheduling issues, and I'm so happy we could make this finally work. So thank you.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I think I was here maybe in February, but it was via Zoom.
Yes.
So it's so nice to see everybody in person. My name is Joanne Jacobson, and I manage several senior programs within OCTA. And we have Christina Blanco here that will talk about our OC access and eligibility. And then Ron came to observe. And we always like to have somebody kind of take a look at. So let's go ahead and get started. So this is what I'm going to talk about, our senior mobility program, senior non-emergency medical, our fixed route service, which is transit training, our reduced fare program, and other service options outside of OCTA. So first, I think a fair amount of you are familiar with our senior mobility program. There's 32 cities that participate and 3 nonprofits participate. There are 2 cities that do not participate, that being Los Alamitos and La Palma. And they're very small, so it's kind of hard for them to put a program together. So this program is funded through Measure M, our sales tax revenue. And the cities and agencies put in 20%. So we give 80% of the program funding, and the cities put in 20%. Funded again by our bi-monthly sales tax revenue, Measure M2, and the population of 60 years and older. We have a formula between sales tax revenue and population of 60. And that gets the city's, bi-monthly funding. They get paid every other month. And this program provides local trips to residents. So let's say you live in Santa Ana. You would only use the program for Santa Ana. If you live in Garden Grove, you use the Garden Grove program, basically because it's tax dollars from Garden Grove. So they use it for their residents. So it's for any resident 16 years and older. And it takes them many places, senior centers, depending on the city. Each city has their own program. They design it, they stay within our guidelines, but they design a program that best suits the needs of their residents. Some cities do medical trips, some don't. They go to the senior center, they go shopping. There's a lot of options in this program. The cost is minimal. Some cities are free. Some are like Yorba Linda. It's a dollar. And they can go any place in the county. So
in county, yeah.
Yeah, they're gonna run it. You gotta be a little careful with that. But yeah, there's programs, some programs do a lot and some just maybe go to the senior center. But again, you would call and find out for your city what their program is. The largest number of trips provided are usually for the senior center and their nutrition program. So every city has a nutrition program that they take their residents there for lunch. This does not require ADA paratransit eligibility. So for access, that's a whole eligibility process. This is just any resident that's 60 years and older. And I did want to first let you know that for fiscal year 22-23, $4.1 million was distributed to all of the cities. So there's a lot of money that goes into this program. So another program funded through OCTA is a senior non-emergency medical. Okay. So the non-emergency medical funded through OCTA in the county is available to all residents of the county, 60 years and older. It's divided South County and Northwest and Central. So it's for anybody in the county 60 years and older. Caregivers, spouses, and companions travel for free with a 3 maximum. So you can take yourself, caretaker, a relative, but you can go, they would all travel for free. Limited to 16 one-way trips per month. And then the cost is donation-based. They ask for $2 each way. So this is extremely low-cost program, and it's valuable in this county for our residents that cannot get to medical appointments. This is what this is for. And you would make reservations 5 days ahead of time, and you would show up. They would show up at your home.
Is this like dial ride, or is this something else?
It would be similar, but you make a reservation 5 days ahead of time, and then the vehicle will come to your home and pick you up, and then it takes you to wherever you had requested, whatever medical office you requested. And when you make your reservation to go, you would make a reservation to return, and then they come back and they pick you up.
So the reservation that's made 5 days in advance, and say that I have an appointment next Thursday, and I book my appointment, and then if it's a doctor's appointment, say, and we know that they don't always run on time, right? So I'm supposed to be out of there in an hour, but I'm not out of there for an hour and a half. Do they wait for you, or
they're not going to wait? Christina, you might be able to answer that. I think you need to call your reservations and let them know that you're running, because that's something that's going to happen.
All
definitely
time.
Yeah. Any other questions on non-emergency medical? These are the trips are provided for doctor, dialysis, chemotherapy, the dentist, the eye doctor, pharmacy, physical therapy. Basically, these are the type of trips that you would go to. Radiation, these are what you would use them for. There are two transportation providers. There's Abrazar that handles North, Central, and West, and that's their phone number where you would sign up and make your reservations. And then AgeWell does the South County Irvine, Newport Beach South. So let's say you lived in Mission Viejo and you wanted to go see your doctor in Loma Linda. They're not going to take you because there's with the two transportation providers, they do not need the parameters of their portion of the county. So that would be, usually we find that most people, their doctors aren't that far away. So it would, the trips would work for you. It's just occasionally if you are outside their service area for your doctor, they won't be able to take you. So then another program that OCT offers is transit training. And we teach individuals how to use public transportation. Training can be provided in English, Spanish, Vietnamese, Korean, and Mandarin. And if there's another language that is needed, you let us know and we can have interpretation for you. And this training is done, can be done on the bus, it can be done at a senior center, it can be done in the community. So there's individual training and there's group training. So let's say you have some friends and you all want to do it together. Sometimes it's more comfortable in a group. You can schedule that and you would take, you can go on the bus. They'll take you on a trip on the bus, show you how to use the bus, how you get on and off, how you plan your route. And if you want to do an individual, we also do that. So if you want to be trained by yourself or you know somebody that really wants to be trained on using the bus, then you can do that too. So we do individual and group.
So if I need to go apart, do I have to use the bus? Can I get trained at a bus stop in my city? Or do I have to go somewhere?
No, you can do it in your city.
Is the training for free?
Yes, all the training is free. Yes, absolutely. So this transit training, it offers greater independence, diversity, equity, and inclusion. We're including everybody in this. And we're especially concerned with languages. So we make sure that we cover the languages in the county so that everybody can benefit from this. So if you do the group training, you get 2 one-day passes. If you do an individual training, so the group training, you get 2 one-day passes to practice what you learned. And if you do the individual transit training, you get a 30-day bus pass to use. We do training follow-ups, 1, 3, and 6 months apart. And we want to follow up, make sure that you understand what you're doing, that you know where to go, that you don't have any questions. So it's important for us to train, but then to make sure that you're using it or you understand how to use it and there's no questions. And if you need additional training, you just let us know, because again, the training is at no cost. So we want everybody to feel comfortable. This is, the SMP is great, non-emergency medical is a great program, but so is the bus, OC bus. It's a great program. There's more options. You don't, you're not, like if you make a reservation for non-emergency medical, you have to be ready at 9 o'clock. This one, if you're using the bus, you're free to do it when you want. So you're not confined. I mean, you'll have a doctor's appointment, let's say, but you're not confined. Like you would ask about if you're late from the doctor. Well, if you were on the bus, it wouldn't matter because you just catch the next bus. So it's an definitely a convenience. And it's just another option out there that gives our seniors independence if they're comfortable using the bus. And if,
sorry, with the training, how is most of the information about the bus routes? Is it on phone or is it on computer?
Well, they'll do it in person.
No, but I mean for the schedule or later when they want to go by themselves. The scheduling. Where's the schedule?
It's online. It's online. Yes.
And do you have trouble with this? Some of the seniors learning how to do that online?
I haven't heard of that. So, and they will show them how to use the trip planner online.
And they don't publish a book like they used to, right?
They don't. I mean, we have a few. We used to have them on the bus. Remember, they used to be on the bus and they were at the libraries and every place. We don't do that many of them anymore. So most of it is we refer people to the website and it's all right there. And then there's downloadable PDFs and you can print what you need.
You probably should come there from to me.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
So I know some of the, I know it's determined by the cities that have the bus stations. They have their own digital schedules there too. You walk up, you can see when the next bus is coming, type of thing.
Oh, really?
But not all the cities do that. Yeah.
If you are interested in transit training, there's the contact. It's Martin Brown, and he actually sits right next to me. And he works. We have a consultant that goes out in the community, and Martin coordinates, and he will go out also and conduct trainings for anybody that's interested. And then for anyone that's 60 years and older, there's reduced fare on the bus. It's 75 cents per boarding versus $1.50. And you get a day pass for $1.50 versus $5 if you're under 60. And you purchase these on the bus from the coach operator. To prove that you're 60, valid driver's license, DMV card, Medicare card, as proof of age. If you wanted to buy a pass for the day, you would do it right there or just pay the one-way fare on the bus. And then we do have a 211 web portal. It's through 211 Orange County, and it's trip planning on there also. And it helps you if you're interested in traveling in Riverside County, San Bernardino, and Ventura counties, you can look there and you can route out trips. And it will look at fixed route, ADA, paratransit, taxi, volunteer driver programs, other private transportation. So you would just put in the parameters you're looking for, and it can route you out trips. And if you're access certified, you can register on that website and portal, and it will save your profile. And that way, if you use it, even once or twice, you would just go in where your information saved, you know, bring all your information up so you don't have to enter everything all over again. So 211 Ride is a great option for people if you're interested. And then we have been campaigning with OC211 Ride, and we have social media campaign going on until June of 24. So are you living with a disability? Are you an older adult? Are you a military veteran? So this is also garnering interest. And it lets people know, oh, I can travel with a disability. Oh, I can travel as an older adult. Let me find out how I do this. And there's a focus on military veterans also. And then this is an option. It's not OCTA funded, has nothing to do with OCTA or the county. SCOGO grandparent. And it's just a transportation option for our seniors. It's not going to be inexpensive like non-emergency medical or SMP. It's Uber based, but the person using it does not need a smartphone. You register over the phone. And you can go, you can make a request to go all kinds of different places. You can get groceries, cleaners, et cetera, 24/7 availability. And the interesting thing is they will text your family and say, we picked your mother up, we dropped your mother off. So they keep in touch with you because oftentimes if the senior that wants to use this does not have a smartphone, it's basically impossible. So this program makes it doable for them if they don't have a smartphone and their family is helping them, then their family is kind of the mediary and the go-between, and they let the family know. GoGo grandparent will contact the family. Again, it's not one of our inexpensive modes of transportation, but it's an option out there for our senior residents if the other options don't work for them and they need to go quickly, then this is another option.
Why is it cheaper than a taxi or Uber?
A little bit.
A little bit, okay.
The thing, though, is that they've got some fees attached.
Well, so what I was going to say is, so when I was a mayor in 21, we had a presentation, and it was, somebody had mentioned about GoGo Grandparent. We had a few residents that used it, and it was more, yes, it's an expensive luxury, I guess you could say, but it was peace of mind because it was the daughter who was able to know exactly that her mother was getting picked up, dropped off. She, you know, wanted to go to her favorite place for like a little French bakery, you know, so and the daughter lived out of the county and couldn't do it. So it was more about the peace of mind.
Exactly.
And it was safe and, you know, so that's.
As opposed to just an Uber where they pick her up and you have no idea if they pick my mother up or not.
Yeah.
They let you know.
Yeah. So it is expensive, but again, like I said, it was that peace of mind thing.
So if none of these other programs work, this is another option out there for our senior residents.
Uber does let them know.
Oh.
Because my daughter travels and I get alerts that she's being picked up at this address, she's dropped off at this address.
Oh, okay.
So
Uber.
You track my daughter apps too on your own.
Yeah. So Uber only tracks if the rider shares the information.
Right.
So this sounds automatic.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. First of all, I'm sorry for being late today. Traffic was a little bit gnarly, and I hope I'm not wasting anybody's time. Coverage for them is universal, or is it only in certain areas for this?
No, that's pretty universal. There are a lot of places.
This is another part of the section of the gig economy showing up here, like the Are the drivers vetted, like, at all?
That I don't know, because you know, with all of our programs, we're all vetted.
Exactly.
If it's in the race, the vetting process is probably a bar.
A bar. Who wants this program?
I'm sorry.
That's the program.
GoGo Grand Theory.
That's an actual company.
Yes.
Surprise.
Yes. And you can go on the website and you'll see.
Company.
Yeah.
Okay. I need one for my kids.
I want to make sure I gave enough information on senior mobility program.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, I did come in late. See the Leisure World we have of the Seal Beach Transit. Is that you guys?
I booked.
I know
they have a shuttle service that goes like within the city.
And I know it's funded out of Orange County somehow.
That's probably because they have a couple transportations. They have your internal within, you're talking Seal Beach Leisure World.
I'm talking about Seal Beach Leisure World and that route they run in City of Seal Beach on the side of us. As elected, I know that the money comes from Orange County.
Yes, that's Measure M too.
Thank you. Yeah, we could use a second one if you don't mind.
Oh, you need a new vehicle?
No, a second one. They're starting to fill up in certain things.
Do you need a second what?
Another bus on the right.
Yes. Okay, you need to talk to them. I will let you know that as a city, if you are in the senior mobility program, if we do have available, you are able to get a retired OC access vehicle at no charge.
Oh, really?
They're going to be older. They'll be probably a 2015, probably 250 to 275,000 miles. But we do the refurbishment, we do paint, tires, clean it all up, and they're well maintained because they've been in service for access.
But then you're on the hook for maintenance.
Yes, you're on the hook for everything. Once we give it to you, you change the registration to your name.
You have so much discretionary money in Seal Beach. your bucks up is what I said.
Just side note.
Yes.
And I adore the mayor of Los Al, but my city, I think, is a tad bit smaller. We participate in the program. So you can let her know that she needs to step
what,
up.
What city? Are you Los Alamitos?
No, I'm Villa Park.
Oh.
She was up there in your picture.
Yeah, she was up there in your picture. Yeah. Tanya Dovey, Mayor Dovey. She's fantastic. But so you can't use that they're a small city because we're even smaller and we participate. So
they would get less money than you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have a great program. Yes, they have a taxi program. Is it free? Because it kind of changes.
Information.
Yeah.
So also on that, I was going to ask, what have you experienced with the rising gas crisis? Is that something that's impacting you? Like
yes.
How is
for,
it?
For like the S&P program?
Yeah.
Every city runs their own program. So we give the cities money based on sales tax revenue. So It's just, I mean, if there's more sales tax, they're going to get more money. But that would really be it. We don't really see a lot of implications from that because they just get their sales tax money and, you know, based on population.
On the senior taxi program, if each city runs their own program, then they make up their own rules. Like, other than being 60, they can say we can only go here or only go there.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's all cities are different. Every program is different. Some do taxi, some do shuttles.
Right.
Some one does bus passes.
Huntington Beach has their own cars.
Huntington Beach has a fabulous volunteer driver program. It's fabulous. They must have 100 drivers that volunteer.
I would think the liability would be like huge.
Yeah, liability insurance.
They are self-insured and they've worked it out because they've had that program for years.
Do you know if that only goes to the senior center?
No, it goes to a couple of hospitals like Hull. It primarily stays in Huntington Beach. So they'll go to Hull and a couple of hospitals further south. The one thing with them is they will not pick you up if you live in an assisted living facility.
They will not?
They will not, because they say that they should have transportation. They already have transportation. So I've run into that a couple of times that people are upset. They live in assisted living, but they don't, they won't.
And what happened during COVID is when people weren't using transportation, where did that money go?
It still went to them. And that's like Laura Belinda. They had so much money. You have to spend your money within 3 years.
Oh, you do?
Or you ask for a 2-year extension. So many cities were having a problem because they had too much money. They couldn't spend the money because they weren't going anyplace. So your Belinda is a good example. That's why they changed their program, taxi program, $1. You can go any place in the county. They need to spend money. And that's a lot of the cities. That's what happened is, oh my gosh, we have so much money. I'm going to run out of time to spend it. So we need to expand our program. The problem is once you spend your money, do you have to pull that back? That's really hard from our seniors to say, yesterday you could go to Newport Beach, today you can't. That's the only problem with that.
As I noticed in Lake Forest, ours was $3 a ride, and then they lowered it to $2 because they had all that money left over. And we're getting all these, they go anywhere in Lake Forest,
right?
Not anywhere in the county. And then the hospitals, some of the...
Yeah, they do go outside a little bit.
Now they're talking about matching up to Mission Viejo. It actually goes to the airport, John Wayne.
And that would be fabulous.
Which I think would be great. And ours has a thing, and I don't know if other cities have this, if you have a car and you can drive and you can't be in the taxi program. But I have a problem with that because a lot of seniors don't want to drive in the dark. So I think it's good that they don't. They're aware they don't want to, and they shouldn't. They should be able to take this.
So that's something you'd need to talk to the city about.
Okay. Because
they make that rule themselves.
Okay, that's awesome. Thank you.
But they have a good program. I think they have two. They have Yellow Cab and make things age well. Takes people to the senior center for lunch.
Yeah.
They have a really good program.
And then when I interviewed Luna Nigel, theirs only goes to the senior center, which I that's
and that's another one that needs to up their program.
Right.
Yeah.
I live there. So I used to work for the city. So
it's a little limited
over
there.
Just a touch.
Yes.
I'll call Ray right now.
Not as rich as North Atlanta.
It's just their leftover money because they weren't traveling for so long, which is
primarily drives. So even seniors, everybody drives everywhere. So, but now I think they're getting used to using it. And COVID, of course, that's one of those.
And another thing Nora Belinda did was they had this fabulous ad that they ran in the theater.
Yeah.
And, oh, really?
Yes. And it was like $7,500. And they ran this ad in their movie theater over Christmas, I think a year or two ago.
Yeah, people love it. Oh, I know we do that.
Yes. That was like genius to do that.
Yeah.
Is that your idea?
Our city is pretty much genius based.
Yeah. I'm very modest.
I'm biased.
That was a really great idea. They really increased their trips. And we just want the knowledge out there. Even as the families, we want the families to know that, there's something for my mom, there's something for my dad, as well as the seniors knowing what's out there. But it's family knowing that I don't have to leave work to take my mom to the doctor. There was a program that do that.
Because the adult kids are all over this. I don't know, leave. Let's call and have some grandma, grandpa.
Especially for a dollar.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you laugh at that, but you charge a dollar and it means something to people. Like, okay, it's not free. I mean, we got to pay for it. And so it's, you'd be amazed. So it doesn't get abused. It's like, okay, yeah.
Oh, you have to charge almost dollars.
Yeah, for anything. You say it's free, people are clear. It's free. Yeah. Must be not as good.
I really like the taxi program for the 60 plus because I think it's fabulous.
Oh, yeah. Any taxi program is great. You're not, it's not a shared ride.
Right. And you're at your own. You just call and get your ride. It's no big
thing. Each city has that uses Yellow Cab has their own designated phone line. So when you call in, it's only for Lake Forest. But all the taxi programs are really good. And OCTA doesn't put parameters on them. We have guidelines. You cannot leave the county unless you're on medical. Medical will go 10 miles outside the county. That usually pertains more to maybe your Belinda, any place that's on the border, Cypress, they might go to Downey or a little bit of Long Beach. Because those medical facilities are less than 10 miles from the county. So you cannot, the programs will not go outside the county except for medical trips, and they will go 10 miles outside the county. And there's some programs that do go to the VA, especially non-emergency medical, they do go to the VA. And I believe even AgeWell will take you to the VA if you really need to go. So that's a really good program too for our veterans that need to get to the VA, and the big VA in Long Beach. They will go there.
Thank you
so much.
Very good.
And now Christina is going to talk about our eligibility and our complicated care transitions.
Hello, everyone. My name is Christina Blanco, and I am the senior field administrator for OCTA. I have contract oversight for the paratransit services and for senior services. So for the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990 requires agencies like OCTA that operate the fixed route service to provide complementary paratransit services for individuals who are unable to use the fixed route or rail service. Paratransit service is designed to complement these services in terms of the service area and time of service, not as a standalone system, and to service strictly defined categories of individuals with disabilities.
I ask probably a dumb question. Just so fixed route is being that it's going to have multiple stops. Is that what that means?
So fixed route is, they have designated stops and they stop at specific times, like the public bus.
Yes.
You know, if I could add one other comment on that, we also get a lot of requests. Can I bring my bike on this?
Right.
Well, according to the law, if you can ride a bike, then you're not, incapable of getting on there on your own. So, no, you cannot take a bike on. Get there and not want to ride my bike to get there. If I ride a bike, then you're not immobile. This is for people that literally can't do that.
So part of qualifying for OC access is requiring that participants apply for the service. They have to come for an in-person assessment, which includes a simulated indoor transit walk to evaluate an applicant's ability to walk at a steady pace and gait, board a bus and pay the fare, walk or propel their mobility device onto different surfaces like rocks, grass, different levels of concrete, the ability to identify landmarks, follow map instructions, remember directions, or maintain strength and endurance during assessment. Travel time on OC access services should be expected to be the same as travel time on OC bus for the same trip. So what this means is that if someone, depending on the distance that you're traveling, you may be in the vehicle longer than someone who's traveling a shorter distance. If it would take a public bus to get from point A to point B 2 hours to get there, then the parameter for this trip would be that OC access is under that 2 hour mark. In the past, there was a 90 minute, somebody introduced a 90 minute travel time, but that's not compliant with ADA standards. it would be unreasonable to expect the paratransit service to get from the furthest point north, the northern furthest point in Orange County to the southern coast point within a 90 minute with traffic. Share ride service is just not some unattainable goal. So OC Access service is provided within 3/4 of a mile of and during the same hours of service as the OC bus. The fare for each one-way trip is $3.60. You can bring one personal care attendant with you that could travel for free. One companion is permitted and is required to pay the $3.60 for each one-way trip. And they must board and alight the vehicle with the passenger. So they're there to be with the passenger and they can't travel alone. A premium same-day taxi service is available to and from any address in Orange County. So for the same-day taxi service, OCTA subsidizes up to the first 5 miles. It's $3.60, and the riders pay any additional costs above the 5 miles. But you can travel anywhere within Orange County, and that 3/4 mile mark does not apply. So we have our contact information available here. Does anybody have any questions for OC Access or Sandy Taxi?
If they're not capable or able to walk or whatever, how do they get there to do the in-person evaluation?
So we provide free transportation to and from the eligibility center. So we will provide that ride free of charge. But you must come in person for the interview. And that's a great way for you to get a feel for how the service runs to determine whether, even if you qualify for the service, is this the best type of transportation for you or your loved one?
Do I see OC Access in the Leisure World Seal Beach?
Yes. So they do perform pickups and drop-offs in Leisure World.
Come right to your door.
They try to get as close as possible. If there's a lot of, if the driver has to make multiple turns in order to exit from a particular location, then we can have a field administrator go out and evaluate the location and determine a safer location to pick up and drop off. Sometimes the customers don't like that, but if it creates a safety issue, then we have to go and assess it.
I have a question and a comment. Question is that, is there any update on adding additional stops at John Wayne Airport? I had requested that, and my colleague had as well.
Yes. So I've been working with John Wayne Airport to get some designated stops. We only have one stop currently, which is Terminal B at Arrivals. So the progress that we've made with John Wayne Airport is adding two additional signs for pickup, and that would be at Terminal A and Terminal C. The airport has agreed to allow the drivers to drop off at all terminals. The difference with the pickup and the drop-off is that our drivers are required to dwell 5 minutes. So that's a significant safety risk for an airport to have a vehicle dwelling at a location. So that's the reason why it's limited to 3 pickups. This is the only location for OCTA where we have an agreement where there is a different parameter for drop-off and a different parameter for pickup. So at the airport, they will be able to drop off everywhere. At the pickup, they will be able to stop at the 3 terminals. We went last week to visit the airport. Actually put the stand signs where it wasn't visible for the driver, and that would be hard for the driver to identify who the rider is if the stand sign isn't visible towards the traffic. So the airport has agreed to move the signage. Once the signs have been moved, we will be taking photographs of the signs and updating our designated stops website on the OCTA website. So there's a visual for the customers to see where the stand signs are. We haven't provided this information to the public yet because we want to make sure that everything is squared away, whether it's the pickup or the drop-off, that we give the contractor ample time to train the drivers and the call takers that are scheduling the reservation, because it's going to be something new.
So the 5 minute dwell time, that's the waiting time, right?
Yes. So the drivers wait till
scratch.
Well, it's softer than wait.
Wait.
Yeah.
My comment was with regards to the eligibility. I know Mary C. Davis, and I'm a part of the Accessible Transit Advisory Committee, and we've discussed at length the eligibility. Even with the limits that they have, I think it was less than 50 folks got denied after re-requesting like last year or something. So it's a very minimal amount, and you can always request redetermination. What?
50.
God, I don't even know.
You're saying 50 applicants were denied eligibility?
Yeah, because after a redetermination process, but it was, I think that was like, it was a low number. I think that they had in the thousands of acceptance.
Not 50, yeah, 50.
Yeah. So the misconception about access is that if you have a disability, you automatically qualify for access, and that's not the case. We have to assess whether you are able to independently utilize the bus routes, the bus system independently. There are, on the other end of that, there are some people who qualify for the service because they can't independently navigate the bus system, but OC Access really is not the type of service that would accommodate their specific needs. There are some passengers that qualify who don't need medical transportation. The drivers do not provide PCA attendant type services. If you're sending someone on OC Access, is as if you are sending someone on a public bus. So somebody with Alzheimer's or dementia shouldn't really be traveling alone on the service. The driver picks you up, drops you off at the curb. If you request service beyond the curb, there are still some criteria or some parameters that have to be met for door-to-door service to be performed. If there's an obstacle preventing the driver from being able to do that, the driver's going to drop off the passenger as close as possible as they can to the location, and the customer would be expected to make their way to the door. So somebody with dementia and Alzheimer's trouble. You would qualify for the service, but you probably shouldn't use it by yourself.
Oh, a lot of information. Yeah. And this part too, that was really good, going over the eligibility stuff, because you always do assume, like, okay, well, you're disabled, so you should use it. So that was really helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, bye. Great presentation.
Are there any other questions or comments?
Thank you, guys. Good job.
Thank you so much.
I got it. Yeah. Yeah.
Got it.
I'm on it.
Thank you guys so much. You're welcome to stay. Bye, too. Take a snack. Bye.
Well, I want to stay for the next part. It's all about the stats for transportation.
These folks are busy.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Thanks very much.
Appreciate all the accommodation for the scheduling.
Thank you.
Take care.
Nice meeting you.
Okay, fantastic. All right, on to agenda item number 7, senior non-emergency medical transportation update.
So you guys, in front of you, the stats, and this is the year for 2022-23. So it shows you, like, in the different areas, like Gwen was just saying, we've got north, south, and central, west. So it gives you the average number of trips that took place over the year, and then the total miles and the cost and length per trip. But it's pretty much self-explanatory. There was a slight difference in like 1% or thereabouts in the total trips over the last year and the total miles covered. And then there was an average cost per trip over the year difference of $4.30. So hopefully anyone got any questions. That's pretty straightforward. Just make sure you guys got the stats on it. And then the second thing I wanted to talk about was, where's the pretty flyer going? There's a pretty flyer that you have in front of you. Thank you. So we got the results in of our survey, and the survey was with Abrazar and Aidwell Senior Services. They are the providers of transportation for the county. As you can see, we collected 811 surveys. Interestingly enough, the majority of them came from South County versus North County, which is very different because usually we have a pretty strong demand for transportation services in Central and North County versus South County. So the response came through for Aidwell Senior Services. 404 surveys versus 251 and 156. Overall satisfaction rate, that's where people were either very satisfied or dissatisfied, was like 97.4%. And then the different options or the different trips used were primarily to hospitals and doctor's office, dentists, and therapy. So that just kind of gives a quick you quick summary of what went on in the past year.
Why did you only survey take these two companies into consideration?
They are because it's a county provided service. We contract with only these two companies for transportation services throughout Orange County. So we don't work with, like, you know, OCTA is totally separate and apart from this particular program.
Thank you.
Beck and then Elizabeth.
Real quick, was the survey asked in, or was the survey offered in any other languages?
I believe it was, yes.
When was this survey conducted? Is this the most recent one?
This is the most recent
one. Just did.
Correct.
Thank you. You're welcome, Bill. I went and got all my neighbors, everybody.
This is the one that was out on the streets, and then it just came in and we got the tabulation.
All right. I'll tell
them. You're welcome.
Perfect. This is great. Thank you. And it's nice to have, because I think there was a request about, you know, trying to figure out what's happened here over here. So appreciate you getting that together.
Yeah, no.
Any other questions or comments on this? Okay, going on to item 8, discussion items. So discuss and recap action taken by the general SCAC for the bylaws. So a lot of us were there. We did not end up approving the bylaws that were presented as such. It was great discussion. We had a lot of participation, which is important and healthy. Some items were addressed that the committee didn't really consider so much that I think it was good that was brought up by some people. We did agree on a name change.
Well, we're going back to the board. Yeah, there seemed to be consensus amongst the discussion on a name change for the committee. However, no action was taken because people left early and we lost quorum.
So
it's going to come back.
What was that proposed name was?
There were three. Orange County
Advisory.
Orange County Older Adults Advisory Council.
Older Adults Advisory Commission.
Yeah.
Older adults.
Instead of senior citizen. Older adults.
But that's not official. It won't be official until.
That seems to be a very common, like, everyone kind of liked that because it didn't imply seniors and commission versus council. Council is really usually used for a body of all electeds, whereas a commission is kind of a mix. So that way it recognizes that we have other people on the commission that are elected. So, but the main thing is it was a great hearty discussion, and that's what you want, because you want to be able to have input. So we're coming back. When's the next meeting? I think it's
something that we should we skip a speaker the next time so you have more time to discuss it. Not the next time. Next time we'll go quicker. But I'm saying if we ever have a big
issue,
We should have a speaker because I felt like we were rushing.
Yeah.
Kind of. And I think that's why it was good at the end. We kind of, even though we lost quorum, I think if you remember when I was speaking with board member Wheeler, I was trying to communicate, like, there is no rush. It did feel like we were rushing. So I kind of want to say it's good that we kind of lost quorum because it forced us to take a step back and make sure everyone's feels comfortable with it. So you should go back if you didn't have an opportunity and look at the amended bylaws that were sent to everybody.
Yeah.
And if you have any additional comments, I would recommend that you write them down and send them to Meredith. So that way, if the committee needs to meet again, the ad hoc committee needs to meet again, then we can do so with the comments of everybody that participated.
Yeah, just be careful when you're responding to Meredith. Do not do a reply all. Respond to her specifically because we don't want to run afoul of the Brown Act. And that was the one thing. When the agendas are sent out, all of you sit on the main committee. So when the agendas are sent out, and you usually get them a good 5 to 6 days, if not more, ahead of the meeting, the expectation, at least from staff level, and I would imagine from chairs and vice chairs.
That you read them.
Is that you read and you do your homework,
yeah.
You know, and you come prepared to have the discussion. Because otherwise, if you just show up and you're not prepared and you don't have those questions at all, it just takes up more time and it's not really productive. So we're hoping that everyone does their homework, you know, before the next meeting.
Mm-hmm. So
I'm sorry. That's okay. I got the feeling in the meeting the other day that people came in at assuming that there was still room to change, like the ad hoc that's created to change this stuff had not completed the work. And
really?
Yeah, it's kind of like that one gentleman had a list of what, 4 or 5 things. And, you know, it's kind of like should have been handled in the ad hoc prior to, or maybe we could handle those things after the fact. I don't know. It just seemed like it was an ambush to me. I just thought that was kind of insulting to the ad hoc people who worked so hard for that.
Well, yeah, it was the ad hoc committee was established. There was some information that was put out there that was incorrect and needed to be corrected so that people who just were new to the committee and maybe weren't there when we started this whole process. The impetus for changing the bylaws came at the request of the chair and the vice chair. And the committee, at the general SCAC meeting, at the general SCAC meeting, it was brought up. It was agendized item. It was brought up by Jean and Meredith. An ad hoc committee was formed at that meeting.
Yes.
There were voluntary members asked.
Yes.
They were, raise hands if you want to be on it. So.
Nobody was denied.
Was denied to an opportunity to participate if they wanted to participate. That committee met at least 5, if not 6 times to go through these bylaws in detail.
Yes.
And address some of the issues, not only at the committee level, but the county took advantage of the opportunity to clean it up, where there was some duplication of effort on certain things. Like, you know, it was just going in, even though it was done in 2022, when I went through it, I mean, I was eating, drinking, and sleeping bylaws for about a week. And it was, when I went through it, there were so many things that were, wait, that's on page 10. Why are we saying that on page 8? You know, so it was just kind of to clean it up, make it easier. But there were some substantial changes that the committee in general felt would be for the betterment of the committee to make it more productive, make it more effective. And that's, I think, why it was all brought to the full council.
And to supplement that, so the changes that were made, so for instance, and I said this briefly at the general SCAC meeting, when I was asked, so I was the part of SCAC for several, 4 years, and I was part of a committee, health and well-being, loved it. And then, when the executive committee changed and Jean and Meredith came on, Meredith, I got that phone call. Don't ever answer a phone call from Meredith. So I got a phone call that just said, hey, Priscilla, we love how you contribute, blah, blah, blah. Would you consider being a chair of the Housing and Transportation? And my first instinct was no, because although I love what I do and I'm able as an elected, like you are, to go to my city council meetings and I can say, hey, we got this. My city manager, my staff put it up. I blast it out. I speak about it at the council meetings. Not everybody has the ability to do that. So when we say we're an advisory council, and I had this very honest discussion with Meredith, and I said, I feel like it's a disservice. I'm not advising anybody. I'm getting some information in a committee meeting, and then I'm going back to a general with a lot of people, and I'm supposed to get this really brief update, and then it never goes anywhere after that. So, thank you. And then she said, well, actually, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, we can't do it any other way because it's not the bylaws. And I said, well, the bylaws need to be changed then. And she said that the executive committee at the time was on board with that. And would I, you know, and I said, well, listen, if we can do this, where we can now become that advisory and involve a larger group of people, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, we're doing double meetings, right? So this presentation is fantastic. Okay?
Right.
Is she going to come in 2 weeks and do it for the whole entire? No, they're busy. We had a hard time getting them here. It took like 6 months going back and forth. So, you know, it's if we're in a general meeting and this presentation happens, and everybody can hear it, then everybody can go back to their senior centers or their councils or their church groups and be able to present it because they heard the entire thing and were productive, you know, and we're not wasting anybody's time. That was kind of the whole. So once Meredith communicated to me that, yes, this will happen, I said, great, sign me up. I'm on board. Then this I can get behind because I feel like then I am providing a service. I'm helping my community. I'm being efficient. I'm making time. So to go back and circle, this, the committee that met did this with the understanding of we had to make it more broad in these bylaws to be able to accomplish those goals and those tasks. And some of the criticisms that we had heard was, like, for instance, you know, the electeds in the room, right? Every day we are interacting with our older adults. Every day. I'm answering emails. I'm at city council. I'm at events or whatever. I'm promoting, right? I'm supposed to write down every hour that I do this. It was like, A, I don't have time. And B, I'm a grown woman who has obviously committed to what I'm doing. You have to put some trust in me that if I say I'm going to do what I'm going to do, I'm doing it. I'm putting in my time. And so we were losing members who felt the same way because it was like, wait, how old am I? I have to report. So that was a big ticket item too. So when we, so I don't feel like we were ambushed. I appreciate the comment because I feel like the changes that we made were significant. Dave Tetzloff had some very valid points that I, you know, like I said, it was great we had that discussion because it allowed us to get a different perspective.
Well, Dave is one, though, that gets it. He's been there. Right. And he thought, well, let's get the input for the greater group here. That, so it's not an ambush. He's genuinely wants to hear what's the flavor of the group. Do they feel comfortable with this? But like any council, you know, a lot of people, they don't read the packet until they show up. And then it takes twice as long to go through it because they're asking basic questions that had they paid attention or read it or gone to the meetings, which everybody was invited, you'd have had those answered for you, but they decided to do it there because that's when their schedule clears. That's the first time they can actually, okay, now let me focus today on this issue. Well,
I apologize. I'm new to all this stuff.
No, I felt like if he had these kind of,
he should have been at the ad hoc.
And he was, but he wanted the group to hear.
Well, he wasn't.
No,
it limited the ability for us to be able, like, I can't tell you how many times, I think it was before you got on, but I would be like, well, we're working with the bylaws, but I can't tell you anything. So.
Yeah.
We couldn't divulge that because of the Brown Act, where
I thought ad hocs were exempt. The ad hocs are exempt for some of them, right?
Yes, but I, as chair here, could not, as my chair rule here, I could not tell them what we were working on.
Yeah,
Sandy
true.
Knew because she was on it. Like, I couldn't go, hey, Jerry, guess what we're doing?
You know,
because that was a violation, especially not the group setting. So,
and the ad hoc committees are informed. With Brown Act, you cannot have more than a quorum of the full committee on an ad hoc committee. And you cannot discuss anything that comes out of the ad hoc committee unless it's agendized on a formal SCAC agenda.
So if you weren't there,
I am.
Yeah.
So if you weren't there, like Beck, I know you weren't there. So what the main, what Dave Tetzloff's comment for others who weren't there, if you weren't in for public, We initially suggested changing and eliminating completely that 8-hour requirement sheet where before you got on, we had to actually say 2 hours doing this, 3 hours doing this, 15 minutes doing this. It was very detailed. And then with the new executive committee, they said, well, we're not interested on every, just if you did 8 hours, put 8 hours. That was very satisfactory. But again, there were still some comments of people that didn't want to join because I was like, I'm not going to report my hours. I'm here. I'm active. You have to trust me. So, but Dave's point was a very valid point. There are some people who, or cities or senior centers who like to recognize presidential volunteer hours. And so if we completely eliminated even the discussion or the ability for them to report the hours, that could then go back and limit their ability to get that presidential service award or demonstrate a reason for a program because look at how many volunteer hours our people are doing. So that was really valid and good point that Dave brought up.
Is there any funding involved in that or is it just recognition?
I think it's just recognition. There's no funding, but
it's an important part for a lot of people. So at that meeting, and we will discuss it again at the next meeting, we went ahead and we're changing it to, if you would like to report your hours, you may do so. Meaning that if, for instance, Irene's like, well, it's really important to me because I like to show to the people that I report to that I'm putting the hours in, she can fill out that form, have Jean sign it, but you wouldn't have to. So that was a great discussion, I think.
And we do that form right there at our meeting. So it's no time out of your day. Just fill it out right there. You turn it in because you're at the meeting anyway.
Yeah.
But you're right. There's a lot of folks who put in a lot of time and they want that recognition. So, hey, knock yourself out, fill it out.
It was
so
great.
And also,
I'm sorry.
Also, from a county point of view, the reason we fill out these attendance sheets is to keep track of people who are coming to these meetings, because we also, for all 85 commissions, committees, and boards, we keep track of that. So when we put out an annual report each year, we can say, our volunteers, you know, we have 85 commission and committees, yeah, throughout the county on several different topics. We have a lot. So we keep track of it for the purpose of our annual report that says, you know, our volunteer efforts, you know, on average, you know, came to so many hours over the last fiscal year, you know. So we keep track of that, but making it, if someone wants to join SCAC, the way the bylaws were written, it was mandatory. You must volunteer to serve on an ad hoc committee. You must put in at least 8 hours of service as a member of SCAN. And that's a detriment to people who want to join the committee, but maybe don't, like, it's like 8 hours, I have to do this in addition to going to the regular meeting, in addition to going to a committee meeting as well. It can be a little bit off-putting. So the goal was to try and get as many people, you know, make it easier for people who want to volunteer.
When we took over, that was one complaint that got the most, was filling out this form for 8 hours. It was, everybody was very upset. So
then,
I just wanted to say those 8 hours consisted of the meetings. So you got 2.5 hours max for each meeting, but that was not to include transportation.
Right.
But I just would like to say, I think it was very well done about eliminating the three committees. I don't see any point in driving over half an hour to come to a meeting. Now, your meetings are very good, okay. I'll have to say that. And I love the food too.
Make sure you say that.
Oh, that's important. But for 8 people to come to a meeting, 8 members, yes, and then they have a first people come and speak to 8 people.
Yes.
Well, you got to be kidding. This doesn't make sense. And what do we have to show? What is concrete that we have done as a result? I see not a lot.
It's important to note that while the recommendation is to put these standing committees aside for now, they can always be reinstituted if needed. But the topics of well-being reimagined, housing and transportation, and senior citizens engagement will be included on the main agenda for a more robust discussion amongst all of the members. And it will also provide to, like Crystal was saying earlier, the presentations. You know, this was a great presentation. It should have been given to everyone because there isn't enough time for all the standing committee chairs. They get 2 minutes to report out at a SCAC meeting. And that's really, you can't deliver the way it was delivered.
Well, here's the other thing too on top of that is, let's say we do have somebody who says, no, I'm superhuman and I will go to every single one of your meetings. I will get the same report over and over and over again. Well, no offense, but I don't need to hear it 3 times. So it was kind of a dual thing that way. But one of the other changes was on the appointment and membership. We had originally thought of, so 20 members are appointed through the executive
committee.
And so we had taken it and made it just 10. And there were people that were uncomfortable with that. So we went ahead and put that or suggesting amending it back to 20.
Leaving it unchanged.
Why were they uncomfortable?
I think because it was...
they didn't want to go through the city selection process?
Yes. Okay. Well, I think it was also felt that the independence of the committee was then kind of taken away or reduced somewhat, because we have 20 independent members appointed by the committee, as opposed to 10 appointed by the board of supervisors and 10 appointed by city selection, you know, so, and that was a valid point.
It was a valid point. And here's the other thing too. So the max number, so we have reduced the max number to 30 by removing those 10 of the 20 appointments. And people pointed out that even though we're supposed to have 40 as it stands right now, we don't. We have 28 members. So
we have the ability.
We have the ability to, but it was kind of like, okay, you're right. You know, I don't think we've had 40 as long as I've been. But who knows? With this new bylaw change, perhaps then some of the people that in the past it had, you know, turned them off, will get more involvement. So, right. Which is why we were trying to do this. And then the last part, Council Member Wheeler from Laguna Hills, who I adore. He's a rocket scientist, like really, literally a rocket scientist. He worked in NASA, and he's like my brother, who's a physicist, who's super analytical. And our goal for it was the purpose and functions was the one that he was talking about. We kind of it was very more specific and limiting. And so we tried as a committee to make it more open so that people could interpret it the way they needed based on what the environment climate was at the time. So trying to make it more broad instead of really narrowing in and getting those fun needs. So those are the three main things that we'll talk about at the next meeting. So
good.
If anyone has any questions, we can talk about it now. So okay, so then real quick, we'll do the update on Orange County Housing Authority Housing Choice Voucher Program.
Yeah. Okay. So this is really, really exciting because,
sale at Nordstrom's excites me.
So the Orange County Housing Authority has just opened up its waiting list for housing choice for the Housing Choice Voucher Program. I'm not sure if all of you are aware of it or not. The applications start on September 18th and run through September 29th. It's been over a decade since this waiting list has been opened. The reason being because we got so many applications for it. In 2017, we had over 40,000 on the waiting list. 40,000.
For how many openings? For vouchers?
I'm not sure.
Not 40,000.
Definitely not 40,000. So this time, last year, we were able to reduce that number significantly to where now we're opening it up. So it will be opened up for 12,000 vouchers. Priority will be given to people who are applicants who are U.S. veterans, the elderly, disabled, or working families, and non-working families. It will be open to cities within the jurisdiction of Orange County Housing Authority, which is every city and unincorporated area in Orange County, except for Anaheim, Garden Grove, and Santa Ana. They have their own independent housing voucher choice program.
Will you name the groups again? Older adults, vets?
It's U.S. vets, elderly, disabled, working families, and non-working families. And I will send you all a copy of this press release when I'm done, so you'll have it. So it's important to note that the applications are not considered on a first-come, first-served basis. How they will do that, the process will begin with the waiting list will be limited to 12,000 applicants. They will select the applicants by preference to be placed on a waiting list. And there are three different ways that people can apply. They can apply online, they can mail in their application, and they can apply via email. And all the information is included here. And also the applications are available at Orange County Public Libraries. The one requirement is each applicant must have a valid email address to complete the form online, obviously. But this starts in the next, it's what, the 13th, 14th right now. So 4 days from now, I'll send this out to the entire membership. So you all have it, but please, please, please get the word out to people, you know, that you know may be in need of housing. because this is it's a good program, and God only knows when we'll open it up again. Yes, thank you.
Perfect, because I do work directly with the Health and Choice Voucher Program for non-elderly disabled, because DMC does distribute those vouchers.
Yep.
Number one, EMC is helping folks fill out the application. So if you hear of anybody like, I'm not tech savvy, I'm not XYZ thing, send them our way. We can do that. We can help them with that. Super easy. And then the other thing is, if there are any reasonable accommodation requests for example, someone who is elderly or disabled to complete the application, or to, for example, need a certain type of unit or something, please do send them our way. I'm very well versed on reasonable accommodation requests for having a post voucher program. So yeah, just messaging to send folks our way if they need help with this, basically.
And everyone knows who DMC is, right?
Yeah.
The Macintosh Center.
No.
We're the center for independent living for people with disabilities and older adults in Orange County.
And county contracts.
Sorry? We are at 501 North Brooker Street.
And let me give you my card.
When is it?
September 29th at 11:59 p.m.
Wow.
So right before midnight. It is very short. Yeah.
There are reasons.
Federal guidelines. Thank you.
If there's not enough there, I have fun.
Just enough.
Yeah. Oh, wow, really?
I'll get the next
20.
Oh, there you go.
So I will send this out to you so you have it. Please get the word out if you can. You're very welcome.
Fantastic. We're excited too. Okay, agenda item number 9, chair items. I don't have any new business, but we will if the bylaws pass, which means then that our committee meeting probably in January will no longer exist. And the topic was brought up about public or people that if they're not, because you could be on this committee but not be part of General Staff. And so we would still want you to be part of General Staff. You would come as a public attendee. Or apply to be on General Staff.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Up to 40.
Yep. Okay.
Jump in.
Yes, of course.
So until the bylaws are actually adopted by the Board of Supervisors, everything stays the same.
Right.
So if come the next SCAC meeting, they're passed and adopted by SCAC, the process then will be, if there are any changes like we are anticipating there will be, it will come back to staff. Staff will send it to County Council. County Council will do its review, send it back to us, and then we will go through the process of placing an item on the agenda. So it might be a little later in January, it might be March or April, because there is, you know, if I want something on the agenda in March, I need to start my process in January, you know, to go through the different approvals. So, but hopefully getting it to here, I think, and getting it passed by staff in such a short amount of time, from what I understand, will be a great achievement.
We're dark in December.
Just not scheduled.
Right. Okay. Old business. So advance FC. I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about that, but I brought some of the. They want the survey advance OC. I have some of the packets. There's like 5 or 6 little envelopes. We got some at the meeting, but if you weren't at the meeting, they might be survey passed out. I think it's all the way until December.
7:30.
To send your senior center or members of your church.
I thought you could send the survey. Another survey.
Different survey.
The community survey for the master plan for aging.
A lot of surveys.
Yeah. And the health code.
It's the one we got Friday. This is not the results of.
No.
Oh, that's
no.
The one I handed out to all my neighbors.
Oh, yeah, good.
Yeah,
that's
good.
That one. That's
yeah.
I brought for.
Yeah. So the one that Crystal's referring to is the county's master plan for aging older adults needs assessment survey.
Yeah.
Okay. There's two surveys on the street right now to do with that. There's a community survey and a caregiver survey, okay? They're available in 7 different languages. They're available online and in paper format. The goal is to get as many people as possible to fill them out online, because it just makes the process a little easier, because once we get the paper survey, somebody has to go and enter it in manually into the system. If people can fill it out online, that's great. The flyer that Crystal's referring to, there's the hard copy packet in the envelope there.
And show us.
For people who want to fill it out, don't want to go online, and just mail it back in, fill it out, and there's a stamped addressed return envelope in here. So please distribute them out. And then there's a flyer, if you can have them placed at your senior centers, at DMC, you know, that people can scan the code on their phone, that would be great. Senior centers, if they have a, I don't know if they have a computer lab or a technology program, if they can place the flyer next to like a computer, iPad, whatever the case may be, and if they have staff available to assist with filling out the survey, that would be great. That would be awesome.
And if they don't have staff to assist, they can always shoot us up, like give us a call, and we'll also help them fill out.
Great. Yeah. So.
All right. Moving on. Announcements and roundtable discussion. Does anybody have any comments? Anything? No? Okay. I really appreciate everybody showing up. I love our meetings. I will call us adjourned. Oh, wait. Sorry, I'll do the next meeting is October 12th. So make sure we have that, because this was a funky one, because normally we are right after the general SCAC, but I think because of the number of Fridays that were in this month.
Right.
So the next general SCAC meeting is, I have that.
The 14th.
October
4th.
October, well then ours, the general SCAC is October 13th. Yeah, because we're always usually the damage. So we meet October 12th, and then the general SCAC is the 13th. So with that, I wish everybody a blessed day and weekend.